of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. And today's gospel reveals to us the mystery of what's known as godly sorrow or mourning. And this is the godly sorrow that leads us to true joy, and it also reveals to us the great compassion and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a widow, having lost her husband, now had lost her only son to an untimely death. And she was mourning this tragic loss, and the funeral procession was bearing his body for burial. But however, Christ and his disciples and those with them were coming to the city of Nain, where they met this funeral procession. And as St. Cyril of Alexandria said, "For that dead man was being buried, and many friends were conducting him to his tomb. But there meets him the life and resurrection, even Christ, the destroyer of death and corruption. He it is who has restored the nature of man to that which originally was, and has set free our death-fraught flesh from the bonds of death." So our Lord Jesus Christ does not immediately go and raise this man from death. He doesn't just see him coming and go, "Oh, you know, be raised from the dead." No, first he comforts the widow. He sees that she's grieving. She doesn't come and ask him to raise her son from the dead, like so many people asked his help, you know, for healing and things like this. She's just on her way to bury her son, and she's very, you know, sorrowful that he's died. And Christ sees this, and that's how he looks at us. He sees when we're struggling, and he comes to help us. And so he goes up to her and says, "Weep not." And as St. Nikolai Vlimovich points out, this isn't just some kind of meaningless thing. Like sometimes someone might say to you, if you've lost a close one, they'll say, "Well, don't weep about it, because, you know, tears won't bring that person back." You know, and that's kind of a meaningless comfort that doesn't really bring any comfort. But when Jesus Christ says, "Weep not," he's going to deliver the goods. He's going to help her in a real way, just as he helps us. And so in these two words, "weep not," a very profound truth is revealed. And this is a glimpse of the godly virtue of godly sorrow or mourning. And it's one of the greatest weapons that we have in our struggle for salvation. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord gave us the Beatitudes, which we sing each week. We just sang this morning at the Divine Liturgy. And Beatitude number 2 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Well, Father Seraphim Slobodskoy in the book The Law of God shows, he contrasts the repentance of Peter after he denied Christ, he betrayed him, but then he repented. He went out and wept bitterly after he heard the cock crow 3 times. And because he repented and, you know, realized that he made a mistake, then Peter received forgiveness from the Lord. He received comfort. He received a blessing. So this was a godly thing. And he received the joy of the resurrection. But the kind of worldly grief that is really not born of repentance, but rather just, you know, disappointment when someone does not get their way, or, you know, whether that's from some ambition or aspiration for power or some desire for gain, this is just self-pity and sadness that's characterized by despondency and despair. And this was the response of Judas. So after he betrayed Christ, instead of repenting like Peter did and realizing, "What have I done? I need to make this right. I need to do better." Instead, he just went out and hanged himself from a tree, and so therefore lost his salvation. As St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." In the case of the widow, she was sincerely mourning the loss of her only son. And she was nevertheless also obedient to the Jewish traditions by observing the proper burial rites for the dead. When Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, he also had compassion upon Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, who were weeping. And even he, in his humanity, wept. And when Christ raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, it was because Jairus had come to him for help, and then his daughter had died. And so, of course, Jairus was smitten with grief, and also his wife and family. So they were struck with grief. And it seems then that nothing so moves the Lord to his compassionate comfort as someone who practices this godly sorrow by repenting of their sins and desiring to do better. St. Isaac the Syrian says that someone who mourns is he who passes all the days of his life in hunger and thirst for the sake of his hope in future good things. And that virtue is the mother of mourning, and from mourning, humility is born, and a gift is bestowed upon humility. And he also said that the man who is clothed with the garment of mourning in his thinking is not only invincible to the temptations of the passions, but he is mighty and triumphant in the war against them. Now, this might seem like a great paradox, a great contradiction, but it is nevertheless true that the only way to real joy and happiness is, in fact, the practice of this godly sorrow, this mourning. The world is constantly challenging this idea and telling us exactly the opposite. According to worldly thinking, the way to achieve, you know, happiness is to buy some product, you know, that's being advertised on the commercials or the advertisements. So if you wear, you know, the right brand of jeans, or if you buy the right sort of perfume, you know, instantly the man or woman of your dreams will suddenly appear, and, you know, then you'll be happy, or whatever, you know, or you get this brand of car, or this, you know, you get this job, or whatever the thing is, you know. And most of the world's marketing and advertising is based on this principle. But the truth is that once we do buy this right product, you know, the right jeans or the right perfume or whatever it is, the momentary happiness that we might feel soon fades away, and then we have to go out and buy something else, and so an endless pursuit of false happiness takes place. However, in this gospel today, the grieving widow and all the mourners are suddenly filled with inspiration, and they find the joy and comfort when the Lord raises this dead man to life. God created us for paradise and for unlimited joy. He creates Adam and Eve, creates the race of mankind. Where does he put them? The garden of paradise, where everything is fantastic, everything is perfect, you know. And yet, unfortunately, we fell into sin because we disobeyed God. Our ancestors did, and so our race has to deal with those consequences now. But God does not want us to be miserable and to go around with long, sad faces. In fact, you know, as it says in the epistles, he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God loves us, you know, so don't get the idea that just this godly sorrow, blessed are they that mourn, means, you know, we have to walk around like this all the time. You know, that's exactly the opposite. In fact, the Lord scolded the Pharisees and the hypocrites because when it was the time to fast, they would make a big display about how much they were suffering and depriving themselves when they fasted, and they would put on sad faces. In fact, I understand they would even put some special makeup on, like zombies or ghouls or, you know, some kind of thing to make them look really, really pitiful. You know, and then they'd stand on the street corners, and everybody would go by and say, wow, that's a very righteous person. Look at how they're suffering. Look how miserable they are. Oh, that's amazing. You know, that's what these Pharisees were doing. But what does the Lord tell us we should do? He says that when we fast, we're supposed to wash our face. We're supposed to anoint our heads so that we don't appear to men to fast, and that our Heavenly Father will reward us in secret. So the Lord tells us we should be glad. We should, you know, be happy in the Lord, you know, even though we may have been going through some struggles, you know, but because the struggles that we go through bring about the real joy and the real happiness. Also, and finally, the Lord raised this widow's son by touching the coffin. You know, when we raised Lazarus, he just stood outside the tomb and said, Lazarus, arise, and Lazarus arose. There was no touching or anything in that case. But in this case, he touched the coffin, the bier. And in so doing, he showed that we too can be raised up and taste paradise by coming into contact with his holy and life-giving body and blood, which is available to us each time we have Holy Communion. So this is why we come to church, because when we have the struggles of our life, glory be to God, and then we come and we touch and partake of the body and blood of Christ, and we're risen up, we're raised up from our struggles and sufferings to this place of peace and this place of comfort. O merciful Lord, we ask that you help us to receive thy true joy and comfort through learning the virtue of godly sorrow, that we may be raised up from the death of sin. Glory be to our God.